Now I need to ask your forgiveness ahead of time. All right, so it's Mother's Day. Normally this would be a message that's cute and cuddly. Is it okay if I'm a little serious during this message? I believe God said to me, you need to redeem the time. Make the most of every opportunity. And so I was telling some people this week that God's been talking to me that we need to talk about issues that are counterculture. Okay, sometimes in churches we're afraid to talk about certain things, right? So today I'm not going to get into the most controversial topics, but I do want to talk about something that is very important. And I want to talk about how mothers, you know, show the nature of God. And I believe the office or the position of mother has been looked down upon in our society, you know, for some time now. Maybe the last 50 years, or maybe longer than that. You know, I believe the devil has slowly eaten away at the fabric of our society and began to put in seeds that he's harvesting generation after generation, right? And now we think that being a mother is a bad thing. Europe is dying faster rate than they're having births. Kids just get in the way, you know? I have places to go, things to see. And there's just the cost. Just get a little serious on you, right? So today, even though it's Mother's Day, and I honor you all mothers, I'm going to begin this series called Counterculture. Counterculture, is that all right? All right. I really believe that the church is the gatekeeper of the city. What our parents tolerated, in our generation it became acceptable. And it's so forth in every generation after generation. In the same way, what we tolerate today, our children will readily accept. And that should scare us, right? We have an enemy of our souls, and he's crafty. 2 Corinthians 2:11 says, so that Satan will not outsmart us. For we are familiar with his evil schemes. Satan has been outsmarting us with a multifaceted plan that spans hundreds, if not thousands of years. Come on. He's weaving his plan. He doesn't have close or nearly the power that Jesus has, but he's been around for a while. He's smart just because he's old, right? Does that make sense? He's just seen a lot of things, but he uses the same schemes over and over. We're the fresh ones. We're the new ones. He plants seeds in generations that he's seeking to harvest in the next generation. And I believe that true Christ followers, and let me call you that, true Christ followers, I don't want to call you Christians, because Christian is a term that's been watered down, is being used loosely. We are becoming a minority. Christ followers are a minority. And not only a minority, but a hated minority. But the good news is the church is always the most effective when we're a minority, when we're being persecuted. Jesus told us that we would be hated on account of him. So you better get used to it. I don't know about you, but I want to be on God's side. We know the end of the book. Amen? Jesus wins. Hallelujah. He comes back for his church. And we get to reign with him. For some, it's easier to just fold and tolerate the evil. Well, we don't want to offend them. We don't want to look at the fundamentalist crazy Christians, as people want to call us in the media. But let me tell you, there's an agenda. It's an agenda to start in the pit of hell. But God always raises up a remnant. Hallelujah. A people unto himself to stand up to the changes in society and say, no, that is not what God intended. That is ungodly. We have to counter the culture trends. Amen? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego would not bow down to Nebuchadnezzar. And God honored them. We're to live our lives to counter the effects of our culture, and we're in the fight for our lives. This is serious business, people. The lives, the souls of our children, our young people are at stake. Your very own soul is at stake. You need to have the fight of your life. But make no mistake, God wins and we win with him. We have the victory. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. Jesus said, you can enter God's kingdom only through the narrow gate. The highway to hell is broad. Ooh. And its gate is wide for the many who choose their way, but the gateway to life is very narrow, and the road is difficult, and only a few ever find it. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He told us, come out from among them. The word also tells us, do not be yoked unequally with unbelievers. Come on. There's too much of that going on. He didn't say completely separate them, because we got to win them to the Lord, but we cannot be converted to them. When God pulled the people out of Egypt, he told them, they're to convert to you, you will not convert to them. They got to convert to your ways, you cannot convert to their ways. We cannot water things down, folks. Our Judeo-Christian culture has been under attack since the inception of this nation. It was founded by Puritan settlers who worshiped God wholeheartedly and with purity. Hence, their name, Puritans. But how has the enemy changed our culture? It always starts with little lies. All major centers of learning were founded as Christian seminaries or Bible schools. Did you know that? Harvard itself, we've talked about it, was started as a seminary. Bible scholars went to Harvard to learn theology. And then it was turned into something else. The plaque is still there at the entrance that says, hey, this school was founded, you know, to worship Jesus and to honor the name of Jesus. You can look it up. But at a certain point, someone inserted this lie. Listen, it is possible to teach morality without teaching Christ. That was the little lie. Hey, guys, we can talk about morality. We still want to have the narrow path, but do we need to mention Jesus in that? You know, so all of a sudden, schools became secular. This lie, separation of church and state began to take. That was Satan weaving it through into our schools. And right now, you know, our universities become the most liberal centers in America. And they're churning out liberals and people that do not honor God. People that, you know, that are humanistic, and they look at is self. But it is impossible to live this American experiment, this way of life which God has blessed more than any other nation in modern history, without Christ and the Bible. Look at what John Adams, the second president, said. The general principles on which the fathers achieved independence were the general principles of Christianity. Hallelujah. But in the name of tolerance, we have begun to exalt evil over that which is good. That which was defined by God, we've turned aside. Jesus was quick to point out there's only one good, and that's the Father. He said, let's keep the reference really high. He is the Holy One. God defines what is good, not culture, not what everybody says, not the majority, not the pragmatic approach, not utilitarianism. Who defines what's good? God defines what's good. He created this universe. And he loved us. And now it's being turned upside down. Hallelujah. Cosmo columnist Jill Filipovich wrote an opinion piece for CNN in December and declared, listen to this. Abortion is good because it leads to better sex. This is what your young teenagers are reading in Cosmo magazine. This is what women are picking up at the newsstands. Abortion is just one part of a broader political package. Women need to get anywhere close to equality. That's why the GOP opposed it. It turned it into a political thing. And then she goes on to say, abortion means better economic opportunity for women. It means better and less fearful sex. That's something we usually don't want to say. Is that what it's turned into? We kill babies to have better sex? And I know there's some teenagers in him. This might be a PG-13 message, so you may have some homework to talk about when you go home. You know, I hope you're okay with that. Listen, this is something important. All of us want to see change in our society. Who doesn't want to see change in their society? I mean, we all do, right? Raise your hand if you want to see change. If you're like, I don't see nothing wrong, then we're after you. You know, you're in the right place. Hallelujah. But listen to this. Check this out. Any attempt to achieve freedom without Jesus leads to further bondage. We sang it today. Who the Son sets free is free indeed. Hallelujah. If the 12-step program doesn't have Jesus as the higher power, you're going nowhere. I've seen people leave one vice to go into the next. Yeah, I don't drink as much anymore, but, you know, I just put on 200 pounds. you know, yes, I stopped smoking and taking drugs, but I'm the angriest person. Nobody wants to be around me. Why? Anytime you don't have Jesus as your higher power, there is no true freedom. Hallelujah. You know, oppression by men, true abuses by men gave way to women's rights. But feminism, a movement built on resentment of men, has left women further dissatisfied and still blaming the men. You cannot find your calling while all you're trying to do is prove a point. I can become whatever I want. Yes, you can, or you may. But let me ask you, what is God's will for your life? That should always be the question that any man or woman should ask. And if you're just doing things to spite men, that is not the right reason. And it should definitely not be in here. The people out there, are they going to do what they're going to do? But the people of God cannot operate under those pretenses. Joseph was mistreated by his brothers and was imprisoned for over a decade, but he had freedom in his heart. If we're going to counter the effects of the culture, then we need to seek God's freedom for our hearts. This is where it starts, folks. Truly free people impact the world by releasing heaven around them. In contrast, hurt people. Bound people go from one type of bondage to another. All right, I gotta line this up a little bit. All right, it's got too serious. You still love me? You're going to enjoy your meal today. You know, Mark says, I always mention food in my messages. Well, there it is. You know, I really believe you can't have good fellowship without good food, you know, without food, you know, really any food. You know, I'm easy. Today is Mother's Day, and I want to honor mothers by emphatically declaring that you're a mother by design. Hallelujah. So you may ask, how is this subversive to current trends? Because motherhood has become for many in the Western world something that gets in the way of people's dreams. Motherhood is a way for men to keep women at home. That's what people say. Motherhood keeps you from sexual freedom, and therefore, feminists call for abortion on demand and without apology, is what they say. If there was ever a time to have a revolution, to become rebels against the trends in American society, it is today. Hallelujah. I declare here, and based on the Bible, that being a mother is an expression of the very nature of God. Only about half of the people can attain to it. Or may attain to it. It is a high place of honor. A place of high honor among us. It is in the fifth commandment that God said, honor your father and your mother. He said, fathers and mothers are an honorable place to be. An honorable office. You need to tell the mother next to you, say, you are to be honored. You're to be held in high regard. So once again, whether by natural birth, adoption, fostering, or simply by loving and raising someone as your very own, you deserve to be honored today. There's some aunties, some people that could never have children, but you say, I've taken some. You know, my sister couldn't have children until she was close to 40 years old, and she was always working with children. She just wanted to bless children. That was her calling in life. And God finally, you know, granted her to get married and have children. Now she's going to have her second one. You know, she's blessed. But she already had a mother's heart before that. So point number one of today's message is mothering is a part of God's nature. Mothering is a part of God's nature. Let's go to the beginning. Genesis 1:26. God said, let us make mankind in our image. And I'll stop right there. It doesn't say let us make man. It's to let us mend mankind. Men and women were made in God's image. And yes, men and women are supposed to complement each other. There are things that women have that men will never have. And I thank God for that. Hallelujah. I thank God for my wife. Yes. She complements me so well. I told her yesterday, we make a great team. And I believe it. We make a great team. Hallelujah. Yes. But God has all the attributes in Himself that we would attribute to mothers. And someone said, wait a second, Pastor. Now you're starting to get a little weird on us. You're threading, you know, lightly on the on some theology here. Let me ask you, who put motherly qualities in mothers? It was God. God does not eat anything. You know, we tend to make God into a human. You know, we put human attributes on Him. Right? We reduce Him to just a man in our minds. But we cannot box Him in. All the attributes of men and women are found in God. Yes, He's primarily called the Father. But come on. I'm going to show you some scriptures where He tells us how He takes care of us like a mother. Hallelujah. Isaiah 66:13. I will comfort you there in Jerusalem as a mother comforts her child. Let me say that again. I will comfort you there in Jerusalem as a mother comforts her child. That is God saying that. I will take care of you. He expresses all the mothering qualities you and I appreciate. Matthew 23:16. O Jerusalem, this is Jesus speaking. Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones God's messengers. How often I've wanted to gather your children together as a hen protects her chicks beneath her wings. Hen, her, come on. But you wouldn't let me. Just like a mother nurtures a child, that's how God wants to nurture us. Jesus wasn't this macho guy, you know. And I want to tell you something. As you let the Holy Spirit, you know, come upon you and work with you, the longer you walk with the Holy Spirit, I believe there's some mothering qualities that you didn't have before that start coming even to a man. How many men can say that? I mean, for one, we cry at every movie. I mean, it just happens. I cry at every movie. But you know what? I look at children and I'll start tearing up. You know, and I have all these gooey feelings come upon me with my children. It's like, what is going on? And I didn't have those before. So I know it's the Holy Spirit, as He begins to mold us and shape us, make us closer into His image, He begins to put some qualities in women into us. But there's some things that women have built in. Amen? Hallelujah. Mothers always hope. They love to a fault. If anyone in our society epitomizes unconditional love as defined by 1 Corinthians 13, it is mothers. A mom is able to love a rapist. Come on, even rapists have mothers. And there will be a mother there praying and hoping and longing and saying, hey, let's give him a chance. And I hope he gets out of this one. Come on. That sounds weird. A mom is able to wait on an abuser. They always see the potential. It can be unbalanced, you know, but it is still a nature, a godly trait that God put there. Yes, it can be unbalanced. You know, love to a fault where we allow, you know, certain things that shouldn't be. But it is an expression of God. Listen, the word says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. In the middle of our mess, God reached down to us. When you scrape your knee, do you run to your mom or your dad? I would say 9 out of 10 times you're going to run to your mom. The dad's going to be like, suck it up. Where's the wambulance? You think that's a cut? Check out this scar. What does the mom say? Aw, come here. Let me kiss your boo-boo. Let me kiss and make it better. Come here, baby. That's that nurturing nature of a mother. And I'm talking generalities. Come on, I know there's some tough mothers out there as well. So I chose the title slide. You know, you saw there was a young girl holding a baby because I believe that some mothering qualities, they're just born, you know, they're put there by God since they're born. And I mean, right away, they just want to take care of babies. We have Bella, always wanting to hold a baby, wanted to feed the baby. And she just wants to, you know, slobber on him. We're like, just stop putting your germs on him, you know. But she just wants to, you know, act like a mother to him. I don't know how many times I've heard women say, when I grow up, all I want to do is just be a mom. I just want to be a mommy. And I think that needs to be honored. You know, I think through feminism, women have been told, you know what? There's something wrong with that. You need to go out and be a CEO. You need to go be in prison. You need to go be a military officer. You need to go and, you know, do some, you know, and not to say that those things are bad, but I'm saying, you know, we're looking down on the office of mother. You know, when God said, you know, the first four commandments, come on, it says, you know, are about God. You shall not have no other gods before you. You will not make any graven image. You know, as it says, you will not, you know, he's using them in vain. You shall have the, you know, Sabbath holy. And then number five, honor your father and your mother. Honor your father and your mother right there. Before you start talking about anybody else, I want you to honor these two people in your life. It is so important that we do so. And we do so all the time. Not just on Mother's Day. I know. I'm really bad with that too, you know. But my wife's like, hey, have you called your mom? You know, have you texted your mom? Have you emailed your mom? Have you FaceTimed your mom? You know, something like that. And I'm glad. That's why I said we make a great team. Yeah, she reminds me of things. Hallelujah. But women have this instincts in them. It is a calling. Motherhood is a calling, I really believe. Come on. Point number two, motherhood reveals God's heart. Motherhood reveals God's heart. When Solomon was asked to judge between two women who were fighting over a baby, he said, go ahead and split the baby in two. Let's see which one's the mother, right? And one mother said, yeah, go ahead. Cut them in two. The other one said, no, hold on. You let her have the baby. Solomon said, wait a second. This one's the real mother. She has that kind of love that she's willing to give up her child for the child to live. She's willing to sacrifice for her child. You are God's child, and this world doesn't care if you get torn to shreds, I want to tell you. But God said, I will sacrifice my own child to get you back so I can win a family to myself. God demonstrates his sacrificial love through mothers. And having said that, I want to show you some quick pictures to break this up a little bit. Is that okay? Baby Eric is 5 months old, and he's 10 pounds. Yes. He was getting some checkups this week. You know, the behavioral ladies that say, hey, he's doing great. He's sounding great. He just needs to do more tummy time, right? Yeah, and look at Bella. Yeah. Just watch the whole, it's like about almost her size. Yes. And of course, I want to honor my wife, you know, this beautiful mother. She didn't know I was going to do this. Hey, look, I'm going to honor you some more. I spent 6 weeks in Tucson. My wife spent 3 months. I feed and change the baby maybe once a day. My wife changes and feeds the baby 6 to 7 times a day. I go to rest. Actually, let me say it better. I go to work to rest. She gets stuck at home. And man, we need to remember that. Sometimes we're like having a good time and getting paid for it at work. And mothers are at home taking care of the children. But you know what? There's a gleam in her eye. I see her when she's looking at our baby. She gets up in the middle of the night. She bathes him and takes him to all the appointments, and she does it with great love. I honor my wife today because she's a loving mother. And stay-at-home mom should never be considered, let me say that again, and a stay-at-home mom should never be considered lesser than a man's career. The man often gets all the accolades and he thinks that the pay belongs to him because he goes to work to bring home the bacon, right? I've forgotten that it was like when you were lonely and were looking for a woman to fill that void. Come on, I remember there laying there in bed. It's like, man, I wish I had somebody to share this with. And God, thank God in his goodness, he said, hey, I have an ideal helper for you, and he sent me my wife. You know, so I have to... God reminds me all the time, you need to appreciate her. You remember what it was like when you were by yourself? And I forget that she is an enabler of your lifestyle. If the check that you get happens to have your name on it as it is deposited on the bank account, it belongs to her as much as it belongs to you. You need to remember that. Come on. I've honored my mom many times, but today I honor my wife.
Yes.
Thank you for being a great mother to our children.
Yes.
Yes. See, mothers show the quality of God. Psalm 121:4 says that God never slumbers or sleeps. Daddy sleeps very well. Mommy does not sleep very well. She naps throughout the day as able. Come on. She's the Proverbs 31 woman. I'm just going to read some verses from this chapter. Verse 15, she gets up before dawn. Oh, she does this every day these days. Verse 28, her children stand and bless her. Her husband praises her. There are many virtuous and capable women in the world, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive and beauty does not last, but a woman who fears the Lord will greatly be praised, or will be greatly praised. Reward her for all she has done. Let her deeds publicly declare her praise. Amen. I honor all mothers and my wife today. Come on, let's give them a big hand. Thank you. Hallelujah. One of the greatest attributes, even for ministry, is to mother other people. You know, the Bible does tell us that the older women need to mentor the younger women. That's why I love the fact that moms is doing so, mothers of preschoolers, the ministry is doing so well. We have these older ladies that have been there, done that. You know, sometimes not too much older. Maybe the children now are no longer preschoolers, but now they're coming back to be mentors for these younger mothers, and they need it. You know, think about the mother that all week long, she's just, you know, in a sea of diapers and spilled milk and sleepless nights, to go to a place where they can be taken care of, where somebody can take your child, put the child in the nursery, and have a group of women just love on you, you know, and do some adult things for a change. Come on. You know, church should also be like that. Maybe you've had a rough time all week, and, you know, hopefully you can come here and just put your children in the nursery. We can love them for you. Well, you can just come here and take a breath, talk to adults, you know, drop the baby voice, you know, for a second. It's always nice to do. But we need to mother other people. We need to mentor people like mothers do. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7. Look what Paul is saying. This is from the Passion Translation. Even though we could have imposed upon you our demands as apostles of Christ, instead we showed you kindness and were gentle among you. And it says, we care for you in the same way a nursing mother cares for her children, for her own children. A woman will do what she needs to do. I applaud single mothers. For whatever reason, especially if had to raise children on their own. If you've been a single mother, I especially applaud you. Some of you have to go to work and have to go to school and have to make your way, you know, without somebody helping you. But I pray that you don't do it out of resentment, that you do it with a free heart, knowing that God is flowing through you as you're raising up the next generation. And the Bible says that we are blessed when we have a quiver full of children, because they are like arrows in the hands of a warrior. And we take the arrows out of our quiver and we point them into our society. Do great things. Do great things in the name of God. Represent me well. Come on. We need to be thinking about our legacy with our children. We can't just be, you know, haphazard. We need to be intentional with our children. So I just want to encourage all mothers to, you know, if you're getting weary of doing good, the Bible says, do not grow weary in doing good. For in due season, you will reap if you do not give up. My grandmother, you know, raised four children without her husband. My grandfather left them when my mom was six. She was the oldest. And you know what? She went to work and she had what she had to do. Never learned to drive. But you know, today, every single one of her grandchildren are married well. There's not one of the children or grandchildren, you know, who are divorced. Come on. That is a testament, you know, and let me just tell you, I've said this before, my grandmother, in all those years, never spoke ill of my grandfather. She had a very reason to speak ill of him, but she didn't have resentment in her heart. And man, that's when she got close to God. She was in her 20s. She's now 96, and she got saved and was filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, she's a praying woman. You know, and I really believe that one of the reasons we have so much blessing in our family is because of the legacy we have with my grandmother. So I honor her today as well. Hallelujah. Point number three, and I'm almost done. Really, really close. I mean it. Motherhood is an honorable calling. As a matter of fact, if the worship team wants to come up, I'm almost there. The Bible says, do not let anyone despise you because you're young. I would say to you, do not let anyone despise you because you're a mother. Don't let anyone look down on you because your mother, for staying home or for sacrificing for your children. Like I said, it was so important to God that He put in commandment number 5. It is never too late to hone your skills as a mother. I want to encourage you. It is never too late to hone your skills as a mother. And you say, you know what? My children are grown up. You know, I made many mistakes. But I would say to you, there's many younger women that need to be mentored. And sometimes, just the fact that you come alongside of them, God can redeem those mistakes and say, hey, let me tell you what not to do. Let me tell you what not to do. Let me love on you. That's why I really love connection groups. We all need to be connected to other people in the body and come alongside of people, encourage them in the Lord to love and good works, says Hebrews chapter 10. We need to allow God to express Himself through our mothering, through your mothering. You know, that grit, the perseverance, the drive to get up in the middle of the night maybe with a sick child. You know, and today I want to honor a woman. I don't think she's in here, but I'm going to brag on her. You guys maybe know her. Maybe she is in here. Her name is Sandy Zavala. Is she in here? She's with your kids, with our kids right now. If anybody knows Sandy Zavala, she lost her husband about 3 years ago, you know, to cancer. And they battled it for years and years and years before then. And other ailments. It wasn't just cancer. It was like diabetes and all this stuff. And you know what? I've never seen her not positive, not smiling. What a woman. And you know what? Towards the tail end of their husband's sickness, her daughter, their daughter, got sick as well with cancer. And they've been going to treatments and treatments and treatments. And you know what? And she's here every Sunday, early. And she will minister to your children with a smile on her face. She's one of the first ones to get here and one of the last ones to leave. I want to honor all the mothers like Sandy Zavala, you know, because she does it, I can see it, with a heart of freedom, with a pure heart. And she's does it, to, you know, done it to her the best of her ability. She still works. But you know what? I see God's peace and blessing all over her. And I want to encourage you. That's not just for Sandy. It's for any mother. You know, God wants to come to your aid, to your rescue. You know, the Bible says to, you know, those that have feeble knees, that He can encourage you in the midst of the struggle and the fight. And you may have children that are in all kinds of situations, and you're praying for that prodigal to come home. I would say, don't stop. Don't stop. Don't stop. Don't grow weary in doing good. I want to ask you to stand. I want to close. Sometimes we take things for granted. You know, God is really good at pulling the rug out from under us and saying, hey, you've been kind of taking me for granted, or you've been taking your mother for granted, or you've been taking that, you know, your a certain blessing I've given you for granted, so you'll kind of like just pull it away for a second. And so we have that contrast of what it's like to have lost something. So I pray that you don't lose your mother before you honor her. I pray that you take the time. And if you have, then God's grace is there for you. You know, and I also want to say for all those that still want to be mothers, God's grace is there for you. We have seen in the last 2-3 years a number of people that said, I can't have children. And we prayed, and that is very biblical. You know, for some reason, the founders of our faith, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, all had wives that couldn't have children. You know, but it says that only Isaac decided to pray. It says Isaac prayed for his wife, and God opened her womb. Hallelujah. We have seen God open wombs. You know, and bring children, you know, in different from different ways. We have all these people that all of a sudden are adopting and fostering and you know, just being, you know, father and mother to all these children. You know, so I also pray for you. I know it's difficult, you know, the Mother's Day. Or maybe as you remember your mother today, I pray that God will comfort you. But we look to God. We look to God for our grace. Amen. So I want to pray for you. I want to bless all mothers especially, but all of you. I'm going to ask you to close your eyes. And as you're closing your eyes, I just want to ask if there's anyone here who does not have a relationship with Jesus. Because that is the first step. Or maybe you walked away for whatever reason, but you say, you know what? I need God in my life today. If you have a cold heart, but you've been feeling the Holy Spirit tugging on you today, we want to encourage you today to give your whole life to Him. Hallelujah. He paid on the cross for all of your sins. And He resurrected on the third day to show that He had power over life and death. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask pastors, elders, key leaders, connection group leaders, all the people that we've talked before, to come to the altar and just be ready. If there's anyone that needs prayer for anything else, whether it's, hey, just need some encouragement, salvation, you know, maybe there's a sickness, you want somebody to lay hands on you, that's definitely biblical. It's just that we should come to the elders and they will lay hands on us. They will anoint us with oil. This is the fervent, effectual fervent prayer of the righteous avails much. But now let me bless everyone here, especially the mothers. Can I ask you to take a step of faith and just kind of put out your hands like this as a sign that you're receiving from God? As a sign of surrender. Father, I want to lift up everyone here today. Lord God, what a special day when we get to remember this gift to earth that you've given us in the form of our very own mothers, Lord God. And our wives are also mothers to our children, Lord God. How you've shown us a glimpse of who you are through their everyday lives, Lord God, of sacrifice, of love, Lord God. And Father, there is a current in this world that is coming against, Lord God, this precious people in our society, Lord God. And if there was ever a time where a church needs to lead the way, it is in this, Lord God, Father, that we have healthy families, healthy marriages, healthy parenting, Lord God, Father. Oh, I pray, oh God, Father, for a special blessing. In Jesus' name, I ask you, Holy Spirit, come into this place now, Lord God, and bless everyone. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I feel that God is coming in here also to forgive some of you. You feel so ashamed. You feel so like far from Him. And God is saying, I did not come, you know, for the righteous. I came for the unrighteous. Jesus said, I came to seek and to save that which was lost. The Bible says that He was a friend to sinners. If you're here and feeling the conviction of the Holy Spirit, it is one step that you always have to go through, you know, to go towards repentance and to restoring your relationship with God. But Lord God, I bless every mother, Lord God. I bless them, oh God. I pray for strength. I pray for a special grace, Lord God, for this year to come, Lord God. Hallelujah. For special vision, Lord God, Father. Hallelujah. I pray that you would grant her the prayers of her heart, Lord God, Father. You would grant her petitions, Jesus. Hallelujah. Just like Hannah, when she went up, you know, to pray for a son. And Eli say, you know, may the Lord grant your request. I say, may the Lord grant your request this day. In Jesus' name. For those that want to have children, I declare just a blessing of motherhood, Lord God, to restore that what needs to be restored in their bodies, Lord God, Father. And that you would quicken them to have the child they've desired, or to afford them the opportunity to be mothers, however you would do it, Lord God, whether it's through adoption or fostering, Lord God, Father, or helping out here and there with the children's ministry, however you would use them, Lord God, Father. But I pray for just a strong vision for that in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I just pray for blessing upon everyone here, Lord God. Father, no matter where they're at, I pray that you would restore their relationships, Lord God, especially as a family. For those that are estranged, Lord God, from their parents or from their siblings, Lord God, I pray that the Spirit and the ministry of reconciliation, Lord God, Father, would be upon them, Lord God, this day to reach out, to love, to forgive, to cover with love a multitude of sins, as your word says, oh God. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, Father, I just bless my brothers and sisters here, Lord God. Father, I declare them blessed of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I'm going to ask you to just repeat this word. Say it. Jesus, I need you. I ask you to come into my life and become my Lord and my Savior. I surrender to you. I repent of my sins. Wash me. Cleanse me. I am yours. Fill me with your precious Holy Spirit. I want to live for you, but I can't do it on my own. Thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross and for resurrecting for me. Amen.
Amen.
So we're going to have the pastors and elders come.